for Gustin. I think
I have a chair.
All the grants meeting to order. All right, roll call. Everybody's here.
Everybody.
We're missing Helen Hawkins.
Helen, yeah.
Everybody but Helen Hawkins. All right, approval of minutes for the grants committee meeting, April 10th.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, any public comment? Approval of reports, there are none. Bills, moving on, new business, bills and purchases.
Making their way around the tapes.
Yes. All right, resolution authorizing infrastructure loan to the village of Warden fact sheet. Had a chance to look at it.
So the village of Warden currently has a loan out with us. They've requested an extra $65,000. They're working on some infrastructure projects for drainage improvements. Lisa has been working with them considerably on putting this package together. They meet all the qualifications, and they are, Lisa's working with them on some of their sewer pricing and doing, going a lot of above and beyond to support them. So we've brought it before committee.
Any questions?
This was that 7 years for $65,000? Or which is the one?
Yes, it's 7 years at 3%.
Mm-hmm. Is that term standard for that dollar amount? I mean, versus I think there was another that was 5 years for a couple hundred thousand.
They still have the 3%.
They won't let them go beyond 7 years at 3% interest.
Right, but so, doesn't that seem like a long period of time for the dollar amount?
For that amount of money.
It might be, but this is the need that Warden has to be able to pay it off and not feel cash poor. Do it. It's, they, I mean, they can afford it, but this makes them the most comfortable.
And this is in addition to?
Yes.
In addition to a $100,000 grant, yes. Mm-hmm. This will be for any cost overrun and contingencies they would run into.
And here's the thing, we have this money sitting in the revolving loan program that's not being utilized in the county. So we need to aggressively talk with you guys and find projects in your districts that do meet the underwriting requirements and get them started and get projects going, especially in infrastructure, as much as we can. It's just, the money's just sitting there.
Well, I'm not in disagreement at all about distributing the funds. I just, that to me kind of stood out from a numbers perspective. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I catch. I'm like, well, $65,000 for 7 years.
Cap. The only cap we have is at the high end, at capping end at $750,000. We really don't have a low cap.
Yeah, but they're a bigger community. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it.
Any other comments or concerns? Entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right. Chrissy?
Yes.
Liz?
Yes.
Chrissy?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Eric?
Yeah. Yes.
James?
Aye.
Liz? Motion passes.
Do we have a copy of the resolution?
He's sending it around.
Resolution authorizing a park and recreation loan to the city of Alton.
So, again, another project that the city of Alton has asked for to upgrade the one of their park projects. James from our office has been working with them. The Gordon Moore Park is, they want to update it so it's more ADA accessible and all-inclusive.
It's actually one new separate project. They're not updating anything. They're going to build an entire new park area that will be ADA. And this will be a portion of the money they need. They're getting money from other sources. It's going to be a fantastic project. I spoke to the Public Works Director and told him he could come today and speak to it, but I guess James told him it wasn't necessary. So this is entirely something new. It's not upgrading old stuff. It's going to be a brand new project. As you enter the park, if you're familiar with the park, where the Labor Memorial is, it's going to be over in that area, and it will be for disabled kids. I wish we had something like this 20 years ago when my daughter was still wanting to go to the park and play because she's disabled too. But it's a fantastic project. Impact is always is behind this 100%, so that's what it is. That's what it's going to be.
So this money is in addition to what they receive from the park and recreation district?
You mean the PEP?
The PEP.
This will be paid for
that's how they're going to pay for it.
Yeah. Right, so PEP, the PEP money will be used to pay this back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
We've seen projects like this before. It's a no-brainer because the PEP money is going to pay for it. So.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, it does.
Is the PEP money ever on the chopping block, or is that?
No.
No, because it's tied to the tax.
Yeah, the PEP money is a tax.
Yeah.
Like Bruce said, it's 1/10 of 1% or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It goes into the St. Clair Madison County.
Yeah.
I think it was passed 10 or 12 years ago.
When I was on a grants committee, we did numerous projects like this. I think the splash pad for Alto was part of this, something like that. We did it
in Maryville, too.
Warden did a big one.
It's not uncommon.
We did a big park out there. I think it had a lot of the bigger projects, that's not uncommon for them to do it so that they don't have to phase the project, and they can just do it all at one time.
This is a $750,000 project.
Mm. Right. This is
just a chunk of it.
It's just leveraging future commitments.
And to see that it's ADA all-inclusive, that's a good thing.
Right.
To give those children the same opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, like Bruce mentioned, having a child that wants to go to a park that's not ADA is difficult. But this is a good thing.
Yeah. All right. Any other comments? If not, I'll take a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Chrissy?
Yes.
Liz?
Yes.
Chrissy?
Yes.
Bruce?
Aye.
Ann?
Yes.
Erica?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
All right. All right. All right. Next is the update. Employment training. Mr. Goodman.
Good afternoon. I did pass out a sort of a highlight sheet of some of the activities in this point of training. I didn't want to go through point by point with you, but a couple things I did want to point out. Second paragraph, we have submitted our local plan and our regional plan. We've gone through the 30-day public comment period and it's been submitted to the state. So that is they're both done and finalized and completed and okay. And next month, we will be bringing a couple members of our LIB board because we will have the one-stop operator bid as well as our youth service provider programs that have been bid out. We'll have the finalization of those and we'll bring them to you for your approval. Not quite sure where those are going to go yet. We'll have 3 in-school, out-of-school youth program bids. Approximate money is probably going to be $226,000, but we'll have those finalized. We'll bring those to you many times in the programs. The one-stop operator bid was put out through the bid process through the county. There was only one operator that bid on it, and that was us and 3 other organizations, and we'll bring that to you for approval as well. And then if you go down to the fourth paragraph real quick, just to let you know, we have been so fortunate to have the state come in twice this month. We'll have them come in for our annual monitoring in May, and
then
we'll also have them come, 2 back-to-back weeks. Second monitoring will be the EOV. They'll monitor both our one stops for accessibility and all sorts of requirements on that. So, not been here for that since 2014. So it just so happened to both coincided right before and after Memorial Day. If you have any questions about this, let me know. I'm more happy to answer anything that you have.
This third paragraph, you're talking about scholarships.
Uh-huh.
Did you contact the high schools?
And they've gone out through the ROE office, and I actually have extra applications.
Okay.
If they'd like one, I'm happy to see me afterward.
While we're talking about employment and training, it's come to my attention that we may be rolling employment and training into community development. Can you speak to that?
Yes, so my understanding is that the it was presented to personnel committee that employment and training, instead of appointing another administrator, they would just fall under community development. And that because we're both grant-based, that it would work out that way. So Matt and I have communicated a little bit about it and tried to see how it would function, but at the same time, we've also been told that perhaps there is an administrator that is going to be appointed, so they would pull it back out and appoint somebody as the administrator.
But I see the chairman of the personnel committee over there. Could you speak to that possibly?
That was brought to our committee and we did not take any action on that.
No action was taken.
It was pulled back prior.
For the foreseeable future, they will be separated.
I would have to ask the county administrator, and John Gilbert, I guess, is who I would have to ask to double check, because it's my understanding that in March it was presented, just we didn't know about it until later. It was supposedly back on the table in April and then pulled back.
So it's never been voted on. It just keeps getting tabled.
But this is the thing. So from what I understand, there is no vote. It's just all they do is create a reorganization chart, and the county administrator has say over that.
Would we encounter union problems if you tried to merge two departments like that?
Well, let me tell you, I wouldn't say problems, because I'm not going to suggest that we would have any problems with our union. I would say that there would be some
discussion,
bargaining that would have to be done, because it certainly changes.
You're going to have to bargain the impact, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
The union employees. Yes.
Absolutely.
How would it affect the union employees if they? I mean, you're not talking.
I'm guessing they're going to be reclassified, or someone may actually lose jobs. I can't imagine you're going to need.
Well, I don't think.
I would think there would be some job step changes too, because of different duties.
Job classifications.
That's right. How so? From the union employees, I mean, they're doing the same job. I can see the administrator being one administrator. I'm just curious, because I don't think it's necessarily a good idea. Because I think the job, to be honest, I think that's one of the priorities we should have in our county is job development. Someone that really has that as their mission. But on the other hand, I can see, you know, cutting the salary of an administrator, which would be good, I guess, if we could do that. But anyway,
so that won't be voted on in personnel. It's up to the administrator to make that decision. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I understand to be the case, and I have gone to several people, and Matt can. We've talked about this. I've gone to several people and tried to find out how does this work. How did this work? What happened? We can't find the minutes anywhere, so we don't even know what happened in March, other than
you can't find
word
the minutes to the personnel meeting.
I have not been able to find them yet.
For this one?
From this past March.
A year ago, March.
They're not
16,
online.
You mean, or
17
March? Oh. Yeah.
So are the personnel committee minutes, who's doing this? Is that out of Vanessa's office? Is that out of Jeff's office or out of this office?
Is that recorded? Is that session recorded?
It's supposed to be.
It should be. And typically, there's audio minutes that are posted online.
There are.
Are they online?
Audio, but not the PDF version.
Okay. The last time I looked, they weren't online, so.
But I think, Bruce, though, I don't think it's ever been voted on to be tabled. It's been pulled from the agenda.
Correct.
Right.
It's been,
that's what he said.
Yeah. Yeah, they pulled it.
But I've had some inquiries, and I was not aware of it since I haven't been on this committee.
I agree.
For a while, and I.
It's an important issue.
Want to know where we're moving with that.
Can I just add to, Chris and I have had this conversation. We are grant-funded, but we're a completely different grant structure with the state. We have a separate board that oversees our activities. It's not like it can be commingled and thrown together. It's still going to have to be kept separate because of the way we have to report out our grants.
How many administrators do they have in workforce development now?
Well, we don't have an administrator. We haven't had an administrator
since Dave was.
You're essentially the acting administrator?
Well, I think I am, actually, because I'm having to sign off on paperwork, so.
But nothing's been formally presented to us. We have been approached by the union. 12 of our 15 staff members are in the union, so it would create an issue with the union. I mean, they've been told it will have to be bargained before they'll sign off on that. And that goes back to the bargaining agreement. I'm not a labor law person, but that's what I'm hoping.
But is that all, can we do that whenever there was that department and then it's all thrown on you guys? I mean, can we do that without something else happening? I mean, just all of a sudden that department doesn't exist?
Well, that's where the union negotiators come in. That's what she's saying.
They would roll it in to community development, but it would mean probably changes in job titles, and you may have to reduce. I know you're going to be doing the same job, but you may have people out of a job because you may cross-train people.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't jump to people out of a job. That seems extreme. And first of all, I still believe that the plan of action is that there will be an administrator put up for appointment over that department. I don't know why I believe that. I just do. The one thing that is different between with employment and training is we are grant funded. So it doesn't cost the taxpayers more to have an administrator over each department. So really the taxpayers don't lose anything by having an administrator over each department. They win. I think that maybe they're just looking for.
I have concerns about combining them because I'm still worried about the president's budget. I know you got it, the reconciliation got us through September, but he's ready to fight in October, and all of your grants are basically on the table.
Well, not all of them. A lot of them are. We have been lobbying everyone that we can, and our leadership, which we have senior leadership in our county, in D.C., our leadership has been very clear that they will support our grants, and the president does not decide the budget. And so when these things are on the table, they are not going to take them off. These aren't for negotiation. So we are doing everything we can. We belong to organizations that are lobbying for the same outcome.
Sure.
So.
NACO for one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we. This week, the Illinois Association of Community Action Agencies, we're up in Springfield, some of our team members, I'm up there part of this week, and we're listening to the lobbyists and what they're saying to advocate on behalf of LIHEAP and weatherization and HUD, and so we're doing everything we can. Obviously, the labor, that's a different funding stream, it's a different funding source, but we're doing everything we can to advocate on behalf of that as well. We're probably going to see layoffs, you know, but we can't say for sure, and we're trying to be optimistic and focusing on what we can do to prepare for either outcome.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
Von Madison Workforce, Dave Stackman's office, wasn't that in Wood River? Or am I wrong?
It is. It's at the Wood River Hospital.
So he's not there in how many employees did he have there?
15.
How many?
15 total.
15 total. So you guys here are overseeing him there or what?
So Dave signed a separation agreement during lame duck, I believe. And so there was just no administrator until what I believe was in March at the Personnel Committee when they put that to community development. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a team member over there because we're bare bones as it is in community development. So we can't have somebody over there full time. Matt has been continuing on. I've been continuing on. Just once in a while, a paper has come through my desk once or twice a week that I have to sign off on. Other than that, nothing's changed. And the furthest that we've gone is we've asked to look at the budgets from employment and training. So our finance team, Sharon Trentonero and Rochella and Donna Badman, could be cross-trained. They could understand, we could understand each other. So if someone retires, we don't have another situation where one staff member knows everything. We have not been given those budgets yet, so we haven't been able to study them. That's as far as we've gone with anything. We haven't done anything else. We're definitely slow playing this until we get some real understanding of what this all means.
And again, you don't know where the direction's going to come from, if the Personnel Committee is going to do it or if the county administrator is going to appoint someone. You don't know yet?
Well, the chairman would appoint somebody. I have heard a couple different names out there, but that's the board's decision and the chairman's decision, and we just do what we're instructed.
Thank you.
Lisa, do you have
something? Yeah, I just need to answer something really quick. When you talk about that the taxpayers, if you have multiple administrators, that the taxpayers aren't hurt. A, it's government money, it is the taxpayers' money. And B, if salaries are going to administrators, less money is going to the people who need it.
Well, so. I mean, sort of. So in our department, we have a certain percentage of money that has to go to administration costs. And that percentage, if we don't spend that percentage, it doesn't go towards keeping the electricity on for a low-income senior. It goes back and they give it to a county who will spend it. So I assume that with Matt's funding, it's the same. My experience in workforce development is it's the exact same. You have those set percentages. And actually in community development, we have, since I began, I spoke with a lot of board members and they told me, we don't really care. We want your administration costs down. We have come into lower percentages and we've still got the job done, but there are things that we could expand on and do more through economic development or projects that I feel if we had more staff to do them.
More management staff or more?
No.
Workers.
More workers. Yeah.
So I don't think we need any more management at the county.
Right. Any question?
If I may, I want to try and shed some light on something from that personnel committee meeting that I found in my notes here. Mm-hmm. Back on February 15th of this year, there was an organizational chart developed. The Personnel Committee had asked for that organizational chart as an informational document, so we knew exactly how the county was structured. When that was presented to us, under Community Development, they've got a Community Development Administrator, and underneath the Administrator, they've got a Chief Deputy Administrator and an Employment and Training box. So that was moved under Community Development in March. But again, we didn't vote on this. This was just an informational piece of literature that they gave our committee so we'd have a better understanding of the structure. Now, since then, there have been, I believe, and I'm going on memory now because I don't have it with me, but a document, the agenda for a later meeting, they had put a, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they had put a job description for another administrator, if I'm not mistaken, but that was, that may have been what was pulled back off of the agenda.
I had put in a job description for a position that we were considering creating, but I did ask that it be pulled back because board members, again, I try to listen, and the thought was that this employment and training thing is going on, so I thought we need to just hold on and see where we stand, what's happening before we evolve more. So.
And that's the extent that the Personnel Committee has had with this. Okay.
So who's leading the charge?
Sounds like Bruce is today.
No, I mean, so is this, would this fall under Mr. Hume's?
Well, I'm assuming it's
Chairman Prenzler.
The chairman and Mr. Hume are the ones who probably worked on
it. Well, it made they appoint, we just vote.
Right. But according to that flow chart, there's no one in that position now.
No.
There's no one in that position.
Well, it doesn't have names.
On our organization, all we got is
I mean, I know it just has jobs, but there's no one in that job position as of now.
If memory serves me correct, there was someone on the original appointments, but it was pulled and never put back. It was somebody lined up to take Dave Stecklin's job.
It was Harold Lee Wathan or Walker. That was his name.
I have an assistant deputy, and her name's Sharon Trentanero.
You don't have a chief?
No, not yet. So John Herzog was
the chief
assistant deputy, and Sharon Trentino. So they were kind of co-deputies, and then John passed, and
they didn't feel
it was never filled. And where our budget stands, in order to avoid layoffs in the future, we're using what we have instead of filling that spot. And I think that's probably what we'll do for a while. At least,
yeah. I mean, Kristen can't really appoint. I know, but I'm just saying.
As chairman, I recommend we move on, and I was the one who asked the question.
No, I mean, I understand, but yeah, I mean, it's.
I was curious about the refinery. You said you had testing for, and I saw the memo, but how many people tested?
It ended up being 205.
Skilled
crafts.
Great.
Plumber. We'll do the operators in the fall.
I was on this grants committee for 6 years, I think, and we always heard about carpenters and pipe fitters and people like that being trained. So, but where was the deliverable? If we have those people that are there and they're looking for those people, how come, that was the one thing that always kind of frustrated me a little bit, to be totally honest, and I, you know, these guys on the committee know I asked Dave about it a lot. Where are the deliverables? I wanted to see the people that were trained go get jobs.
We had those people in the pipeline, and then when the economy crashed, folks that were getting ready to retire and haven't retired.
Yeah.
So we found that the unions especially are not accepting new applicants until those folks kind of, they don't want to put people on the bench.
Yeah.
So we're, we have that pipeline, but it's just not, they're not accepting a lot of people into those apprenticeship programs right now.
Yeah.
But at some point, they have to retire. I mean, yeah, it's 2008 when that happened.
Right, right.
At that point, we were going to lose like 50% of the workforce, but they hung on.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I'd like to see, I think we're all for training and all that kind of thing, but we also make sure, you know, now with all the technology, anybody gets an IT degree now, that's a ticket to the, you know, to the
race. I can just say that, I mean, our department's been doing this for 40 years, and we have never had one finding from the state. We've never had any money reallocated. I think we've done, there's always more to do, but we've always met the requirements.
Yeah.
And as Christine can concur, there's a lot of requirements, Department of Labor and
stuff
we have to meet. And, you know, if we work with the community colleges, we've got the Craft Your Future, Manufacture Your Future program going with the Leadership Council, really trying to push those craft trades. But I think it's just a matter of actual job openings that they're filling at this time.
Yeah.
So we do CSBG training through community development. And so for what we do, Liuna, Carpenters, they're looking for apprenticeships. They are calling us all the time looking for apprentices to join their programs. So they're out there, and we are required to show DCEO what our outcomes are, so I can make sure that we distribute those at the next meeting.
So we're finding people that are coming out of our jobs training programs that are finding apprenticeships.
Yeah, and we're working with Aegis,
okay.
Which is one of the biggest cybersecurity firms in our region.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a coding
class. Launch code?
Well, not launch codes, but...
No, launch code is one of the big things over in the metro, in the St. Louis. They have a lot of the big businesses have sponsored program. They're looking for coders called Launch Code.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's
okay.
An active program with hundreds of people that I didn't know they were participating in that.
Yeah, so the idea is that job market is so hot right now. By 2020, there's going to be 500,000 unfilled jobs. So we're trying to, they have money to send people to the training. So we're trying to work with people like Manny Jackson, Center for Humanities, and different organizations that were on their STEM programs to help send people into training, young people that are in their late teens, early 20s.
Ready, do you have a question?
Thanks, Christine. Thank you,
Matt.
Thank you.
Moving on, community development update.
Okay, so we've had the home program for a few years now. They have always just given the home dollars to one developer. But now and this is probably the first year the last year for home. So the dollars are getting smaller and smaller, and if there's one program I'm confident is on the chopping block, it's this one. So these are supplemental dollars for housing development funds. And we have just given them historically to the same developer. We are recommending, and we are moving to a system where they are actually graded. So maybe it could be spread out amongst multiple developers instead of one.
Who was the developer?
Rise.
I'm not sure I follow you with that, because we obtained home money in a partnership with the Alton Housing Authority to build homes.
This is for low income. It goes along with the low income housing tax credits. So it's not for homes. It is for, it's just called home program. So it's supplemental dollars for developers who get the Illinois housing tax credit dollars to build housing for mixed and low income.
This doesn't have anything to do with the mentally handicapped or anything.
No.
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 But do you think this is going to go away at some point?
Yeah. This is probably the last year. I think that and it takes a lot of, you have to do a ton of inspections. There's a lot of staff that is involved for the delivery, because certain people have been trained and certified in the past, and so it takes a lot from our department, and that we lose money on this program.
So if you think this is going away, why would we take this year and create a new ranking program, which I think is going to take more time and effort?
We'll have one more round, and this ranking program, this ranking criteria, you can see that it was established and modified in 2015.
Oh, okay, so we've had
We've just never used it. They've just given it to one group. So we're just recommending, and it's kind of a,
it
just
like
to
a
let
idea,
you know.
Good idea.
Yeah.
What is the dollars that you get annually, or what's it?
This year, I think it's $350,000.
Yeah, roughly $700,000.
This year?
We don't have, that was for 2016, we don't have 2017 yet.
Okay, so my understanding is to expect for 2017, so the unofficial word would be that it would be about $350,000 for this round that we would use this for. So in that same vein, the applications and submissions that have been approved for the round one of the Illinois Housing Tax Credit dollars, historically Madison County maybe gets one or two at most programs or development projects approved. So this year, we lobbied pretty hard, and we have five. So that are approved for through round one, which means that they have revitalization potential. So the ones in communities like Granite City and Alton, they're it's really great to see multiple projects. There's repurposing of buildings like the YMCA in Granite City. Alton has one for a brand new project. They have one for an expansion of a previous project. We also have East Alton that's included in there, and they are already approved. So they're not even just through round one, they're through. So there's a lot of good work that could potentially come through this. We're very excited to be considered this much. It's an upgrade. Does anybody have any questions about that? Okay, I'm going to pass around. This is just our Madison County Community Development Family of Distinction that received an award yesterday in Springfield. Okay, we did that. So we are... we have... ample weatherization dollars. Dave Goodrich, that team, Peggy Duggar have done a great job in serving Madison County with weatherization upgrades on houses. It's always a wait list, but we have enough funds now where we can serve a lot of people at the very end of this. We've been given money that other counties can't spend, so if anyone knows anyone that's looking for a job, would be interested in a carpenter program. The Carpenters Union are looking for people to work on a crew for us for the next couple months, and then they would put them into a job at a bigger organization. And typically, they go to those jobs and don't come back to work on a crew for us when our money ramps back up in September. So we have that need and are looking for that right now.
Is that where you have your crew coming through the pipeline that don't have other jobs?
Possible.
Is that
I don't know. The carpenters can't seem to keep enough people. They have so much work.
They're accepting a lot of people, but they're not necessarily placing a lot of people in jobs at this point.
And Chris, you spoke to this earlier. The problem with these jobs is they're not 12-month jobs.
This particular one is not.
Because I knew a guy, he would apply, we had a guy, he applied every year, but he'd get laid off for how many months? 3-4 months? Because we don't weatherize in the dead of winter.
Right. And what the carpenters have done in the past is they during the layoff, they take and put them in an organization that does have year-round jobs. So they don't come back to, and they don't have to take apprentice wages. So we can't give them the full amount. But we do have one crew that never leaves us. It's always the same people, and they do great work. The monitoring is really outstanding. Very proud of that. So,
anything else? Moving on to old business. Nothing. All right. Next meeting, Monday, June 12, 2017. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Oh. Thank you, Liz. Again. Thank you for saving me once again, Liz.
We haven't done it yet.
Liz.
Erica and I
have.
Yes.
Bruce.
Aye.
Thank you.
Aye. Erica.
Aye.
Judy.
Yes.
Aye. All right. Motion passes. All right. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right. All in favor. Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Liz. It's like the third meeting in a row she's reminded me to do this. Well, I sent him out at the beginning.
She did that to me regularly. Did she? It was good. I mean,
well, yeah, actually, I do. As I said, you sent him out at the beginning of the meeting and then
forget about it. Yes, ma'am. They got to go out yesterday.
I think it's just
going to go home and party.
I think it's.